Yes, please stand.
Good morning once again, church. Just want to welcome you, saying thank you for coming to worship with us, and of course, thank you for from Bill Abler for listening as we talk about, hey, what God is doing at Camp Lebanon, and it's an awesome thing, and we can't wait to experience it as we go down there for family camp and the kids go for kids camp over the summer. But we're going through healthy households, and what we've done over the past few weeks is really looked at what God's Word says about how we really to run the house and how we build this environment that's conducive to spiritual growth, not only for mom and dad, but for grandma, grandpa, aunt, and uncle, and the sons and daughters and everybody under that roof and extended. And we're going to continue that this morning. We're going to look at parenting. And every grandparent in the room said, hey, amen to that. We need to know how to do some of that stuff. But we're going to do it in Psalm chapter 127, verse 3. Before we jump into the Word, as I was studying this week and thinking about parenting, it really reminded me of IKEA. We'll make the connection here in a second. Who's been to IKEA before? Big furniture warehouse, big old thing, and you walk in there, you see all these displays of furniture, and your wife says, man, I really like that one. So, husband, you go get the cart, and then you walk through this labyrinth of mazes, and then you got to pick out all these different pieces that fit with the piece of furniture that they really wanted. And it doesn't come assembled. They give you a piece of paper, you got to bring it home, and then you got to assemble it following the instructions. The instructions are fairly good, okay? But if you've put it together before, or maybe just a general piece of furniture, sometimes, as you do, you try to put together a chair, but instead you get something like that, okay? And you feel a little lost, or maybe you got a bookshelf, and you're going to put it together, and then instead of a bookshelf, it ends up looking like that thing. And you're even more hopelessly lost, and as you're putting it together, instead of getting anything right, you end up like this gentleman. Okay? Sometimes, parenting can feel that way. You've got these wonderful kids, you've got these wonderful grandkids, or kids in the church, and you're like, Lord, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to raise them up into the sons and daughters that you want them to be? But lucky for us, God's got instructions in His Word. So we're going to look at that, Psalm 127. Verse 3. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screen. Verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for our time here to gather this morning. We just pray as we dive into your Word, Lord, that you would do that work that only you can do. That your Holy Spirit would reign here this morning as we continue to worship and to pray and hear your Word preached. Father, as we dive into the concept of parenting, Lord, we just pray that you would guide us through it. We would see your purpose for it. That we would live out that call to be godly, biblical parents that raises up the next generation to take the reins of the church. Father, we pray that it wouldn't be in our own strength that we study, but Lord, it would be straight from you. Lord, and anything that's not in it, that you would cut it out and you would replace it with what you want. Lord, we pray for those who don't know you this morning that they would hear the gospel, that they would hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and they would find salvation, forgiveness of sin, and everlasting life. And Father, we give you, of course, all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we started there in Psalm 127, we have to understand that the book of Psalms is not necessarily historical. It's not history. It's not narrative. It's not an epistle like we read in much of the New Testament, but it's actually biblical poetry. And as we read that, we understand, we read one verse there in Psalm 127. We read verse 3. And because it's biblical poetry, there's kind of truth within truth, if you will. Because we read there in verse 3 that children, yes, they're a blessing from the Lord, that they're from Him. He's the one who knits them in the wombs of their mothers. But when we zoom out to the whole of Psalm 127, there's a greater theme of truth that the psalmist writes, specifically Solomon here as he writes this psalm. But let's go ahead, let's read it together, starting there in verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for He gives to His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is a man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So as we take that canvas of that full psalm there in 127, we see that not only do we see that children are a blessing from the Lord, but it's this issue of dependence, of who we're dependent and who our faith is in. That it's in the Lord himself, that if we try to build anything without him, without being dependent, without being faithful on his guidance, on his word, on the power of the Holy Spirit, hey, we do it in vain and it's worthless. And we look at this concept of parenting. If we're going to approach it with wisdom from the world, if we're going to approach it with our own opinions, our own abilities, hey, it's completely worthless, church. That it's in vain. But when we look to the Lord God for where he directs us in it, man, it's blessed. It's profitable. It's good. We're storing up arrows in that quiver. When we see that we need to be dependent on him and that kids are a blessing from him, if it's at home and your mom and dad, or if you're a grandparent, you have the blessing of so many different grandchildren, or maybe you don't have any kids at all, but you're a member of this church here. We've got about 40 kids meeting in Trailside Kids right now that need church parents. So we all play a role in it. But how do we do it? If we're going to take the task serious, so we say, okay, Lord, we are blessed to have these kids in this church. We're blessed to have the kids at home. We're blessed to be grandparents with so many grandkids. How do we parent? We're going to go through four instructional steps, and we're going to move outside of the book of Psalms, and we're going to move into wisdom literature, we're going to move into the book of Proverbs to see what God says and how we're supposed to parent. And he shows us right there in Proverbs chapter 1. He shows us his goal for parenting is imparting wisdom. His goal for us as parents, as grandparents, as church parents is to impart wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. Starting there in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Right there at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we read that all this wisdom literature is not only to give knowledge, but specifically to give knowledge to youth. And that's really our goal as parents and as grandparents, to give kids wisdom. When we look at wisdom, what is it? Is it aptitude? Is it academics? Is it raising kids up to be athletes? What is this wisdom that we read here in God's word? Well, when you look at that word wisdom, chamak, as you will in the Hebrew, that noun there, wisdom, as we read, what it really means is it's got a very broad sense. It means to make one wise in things like spiritual affairs, in tactics, in administration. And when you take that broad term of wisdom, it really talks about, or really brings the meaning home to daily skillful living. The wisdom we impart as parents, grandparents, and church parents is skillful daily living. We're teaching these kids how to approach life and do it well, do it successfully. Now, are there parents out there who don't know the Lord, that aren't believers, can they raise their kids up to be successful, functioning members of society? Absolutely. You bet they can. But the difference between the believer and the unbeliever in parenting is in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, where we read, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The big difference is that we do it knowing that true wisdom, skillful daily living, begins with Christ, it's centered around Christ, and it ends with Christ. Let me say that again. The wisdom we're going to impart begins with Christ, it's centered around Christ, and it ends with Christ. Meaning we're taking this wisdom that we're going to impart on kids, and children and say, okay, if you're going to approach life, you're going to do it in a way that Jesus wants you to. Not the way mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, not how they want you to do it, but how Jesus wants you to do it. That's really what we're in this whole year as we look at Christian living. So we look at imparting wisdom, that being God's goal for us as parents. We need to understand that where it starts, what it's centered on, and where it ends. But how do we get there? What's some practical steps we do as parents, grandparents, and church parents to impart that wisdom? We'll teach the Word. If you're going to impart God's wisdom, you've got to teach the Word. And parents, you need to be the primary disciplers of your kids. If Pastor Jeff or Pastor Vlad or Allie Kimmis or Jessica Buhite are the primary teachers to your kids on a Sunday or a Wednesday, we've got it mixed up. We're there to support you as parents, to come alongside you, to teach you, to equip you, and to be that one that helps fill up your kids. But there's 5-6 more days in the week that you need to be teaching the Word to your children. Grandparents, we talked about grandparenting. This is a great place for you to slip right in. Because if mom and dad are not doing the teaching they're supposed to, then you need to encourage. You need to pick them up. You need to show them the right way. But sometimes, even after you do those things, mom and dad still may not do it. You got to pick up the torch. You've got to pick up the torch, and you've got to be the one. Still encouraging mom and dad, but you've got to be the one to be that primary teacher in the lives of your grandkids. But then we partner in ministry. This is a collective effort. Not only is it mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, and church parents, but we partner in ministry. You partner along with the church to impart this wisdom. That's why we have things like Children's Church, Trailside Kids, Awana, Youth Group. We do this together. And that's why we say it's not just parents and grandparents, but it's church parents. We're one body, one family, worshiping one Savior, walking one path together. So look at God's goal for parenting, imparting that wisdom, first and foremost, a child's salvation, that they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, recognizing that they've sinned, they've fallen short of God's holy mark, but Jesus Christ, who is God, fully man, stepped down from heaven, became flesh, was that perfect sacrifice for our sin, his shed blood on that cross, his life, and that he rose again on the third day, raising from the grave, defeating sin, defeating death, and all who would repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in him may find eternal life. That's the greatest piece of wisdom you can give your kids, your grandkids. So we see that's that first step of God's goal in imparting that wisdom. But secondly, if we're going to continue down that path, hey, we've got to focus on training. We've got to focus on training by setting direction. Let's look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Now, as we do, Proverbs 22, verse 6, it goes like this: train up a child in the way that he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is specific there about training up children. Training takes a little work, does it not? It's not being the innocent bystander sitting on the bench and just saying, okay, everybody else gets to do the job. No, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, church parents, we're called to train them up. And when you look at that word train, it's in the present tense, meaning there is action to it. But also when you look at that word train, it has a very broad definition, not only to build up, to train, but also to narrow, to restrict, to choke. Okay, parents, let me caution you. I'm not saying you get to choke your children when you get upset. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about narrowing that path for your kids, restricting the things they're exposed to, restricting the things that are influencing their lives. And we do that. We do those things when we talk about training by giving directed training. It's on the offensive. It's directed. It's direct guidance to kids. It's direct guidance to those kids under your roof. In my own house, we've got three kids. My oldest is a junior. My middle, she's going to be in seventh grade. My youngest, he's in fourth grade. Now, in the Sangren household, you don't get a phone until you're 16 years old. But the whole reason we set up that directed training, those guard barriers, is because we want to reduce the things that they are exposed to. And if you have a phone, you know that everything is at your fingertips. You have access to almost anything instantly. So part of our directive training as parents to limit that exposure, we said, hey, you are not going to get a phone until you're 16 years old, and when you use it, you are going to be in a public space in our house. Now, not popular with the kids, okay? That's fine. I'm not going for the best friend award. I'm going for the best dad award. But it's just part of that directive training, giving guidance, giving barriers as they walk this path that we set them on, that we set them on when they're young. But not only is our training directed, but our training is ongoing. Okay, this training doesn't stop. It says train up a child. What does it mean there when we talk about children, training up children? When does that training actually stop for us as parents, as grandparents, as church parents? It doesn't. If you look at Moses, when did he continue to get training? He continued to get training all throughout his life. It was his father-in-law, Jethro, who gave him the training and the influence and the advice on delegation of duties. As he was trying to answer all the problems of the people, and he said, hey, get some of these other people who have wisdom, who are called, and they can help you out. And Moses was not a child. So the training that we give to our kids is ongoing. It goes all throughout life. It just looks different at different phases. Grandparents, I like to say, you're kind of the coach. You're kind of the coaches, and you're letting the kids, you're letting the grandkids play out there in the field, and you're just stepping back, and you're letting them do their thing. You're letting them run the plays. And as they make a mistake, and they come back to the sideline, mom and dad come back to the sideline, even though they're 45, 50 years old, and they have kids, and they're like, hey, I don't know what to do in this situation. That's when the coach sets up and says, hey, maybe it's play number one. Maybe it's just praying for your children. Maybe it's seeking the Lord on his advice for where you are to turn next. Where parents, you're more of that direct action. You're probably on the field a little bit as you're with your kids, showing them where to go, telling them, hey, you're in the wrong spot. You need to go over this way. And church parents, you're all over the place. You're playing both roles. But training's directed, it's ongoing, and it's individualized. Okay, no kid is the same. The way we teach and the way we train is going to be different. That's exactly how Jesus taught. He talked to Peter different than he talked to John. Peter was type A. He was brash. He was ready to get after it. And many times Jesus had to say, hey, Peter, back up. Okay? Take a breather. He even had to rebuke him a couple times. But the way he taught him was different than he taught some of the other disciples. So we see the training we give as we set that direction. It's directed, it's ongoing, it doesn't stop. Hey, but then it's individualized. But then thirdly, we got four of them, I forgot. We usually do three, but we got four today. Hey, you got to set the example as the wise mentor. You have to set the example as the wise mentor as a parent. Proverbs 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Your kids are going to spend the majority of their time underneath your roof as mom and dad. And probably second to that, under your roof, grandma and grandpa. And we pray as we get our priorities straight, thirdly after that, under this roof, in the church. And we want them to surround themselves with wise parents, with wise grandparents, with wise church parents. Because as they spend their time with us and we show the love of Jesus, we impart that wisdom, they're going to step into that. They're going to start to grow in that wisdom. But church, if we're going to do that, if we're going to set the example as the wise mentor, we got to understand that we've got to make a commitment to be lifelong learners. Why is that? Because we can't impart what we don't possess. We can't impart what we don't possess as parents, grandparents, and church parents. Meaning if we're not walking with Jesus Christ, it's hard for us to speak into somebody's life and say, hey, you need to be walking for Jesus. Kids are no fools. They can find that stuff out in a second. They're like, well, hold on a second. You're telling me I've got to walk with Jesus and do these things, but Dad, you never do that. You're telling me to be in the Word and pray, but I'm looking to you for guidance, and I never see you do it. If we're going to be those wise mentors, we got to seek and be committed to being that lifelong learner of the Word of God. Not only do we have to be those lifelong learners, but as we step into their lives, we got to mentor through experience. We could make a very big mistake as parents, as grandparents, and as church parents to say, hey, the world is crazy. No doubt about it. We can give you two hands up. World's crazy. It is. But we can't take our kids and say, you never are leaving this house. You are never getting out of here. Why? Because then we rob them of that call and that commission to go and make disciples. We rob them of that call to go be the salt and the light. We rob them of that call to put that light on the lampstand and let it shine for all to see. We need to mentor them through those experiences of life. We made a commitment after a few different years. Our kids usually grew up in Christian school. We lived down in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And then as we moved to Tennessee, it was military school, which was still very, very heavily faith-based. And then as we moved to Malacca, they went to another Christian school. We moved up to Pequot. We said, hey, you know, what are we going to do here? We could take them down to Lake Region. And we said, hey, that's quite a drive. And we homeschooled for a while in Tennessee, which was a great 3 years of our life. But as we moved here, we had to say, okay, we've got to do something. We're going to put them in the public school system. And we've learned a whole lot. Pequot Lakes, I will tell you, a great school system. Great administration. They do a great job meeting with church leaders, and the school board does an awesome job. But as we did that, our kids started to experience some things, and we could have said, okay, hon, I don't know what we're doing here. We just need to bring them back in. But we said, no, we're going to use these as teachable moments to make disciples who make disciples. I'll give you one real quick because we got to finish up here. But my daughter, my middle daughter, you Daler's her name. She's a firecracker, right? I got a call from the middle school principal shortly after we started here in Pequot, and he said, hey, Jeff, and I know him fairly well, and he said, hey, Jeff, your daughter was in the principal's office today. I said, oh, wonderful, the pastor's kid's in the principal's office. Who knew? And he said, hey, I know your family loves the Lord. I know your daughter loves the Lord. But when you share Jesus on the school bus, if somebody says no, you can't grab them by both sides of the head and try to shake Jesus into them. I said, fair enough. I got you on that one. Teachable moment. We had to say, hey, you know what? We share it all the time at home. We want to share Jesus. We love him. But hey, if somebody doesn't want to follow Jesus, all you can do is give them truth, and you got to let them go. But it's mentoring through experiences, and Jesus didn't shield his disciples from experiences as well. You see it in Luke chapter 8, when he brings them through the storm. And as he does so, in Luke chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, and they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. And there was a calm, and he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, who is this then that he commands even the winds and the water, they obey him. Jesus walked them through the storm to teach them a lesson on his omnipotence, on his omniscience, and on faith. He walked them through it. We need to walk our kids through the experiences of life and use it as discipling moments. But then lastly, that fourth step is we've got to commit kids to Christ through continual or constant prayer. Through constant prayer. We're going to finish out where we started, Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Remembering that they're from him. They may be under your roof. They may be part of your family as a grandparent. They may be part of this church as church parents. But they're on loan. All those kids back there sitting in the sanctuary are all on loan to us, to shepherd, to impart wisdom, to train, to be those wise mentors. And we have to take that task serious, and we got to go before the throne of heaven to the one that holds each and every one of those kids and commit them to prayer. We got to pray for the present. We've got to pray for their future, and we've got to pray for their eternity. Meaning we've got to pray for their salvation. We've got to pray knowing that these kids are the ones who are going to take the church forward. We've got to pray that the Lord raises up preachers, worshipers, servants, Bible teachers, missionaries, camp directors. We've got to pray for their future spouses. And we've got to pray in the here and now. We've got to pray for their protection, that their minds would remain pure. And we put up those barriers to protect them from some of that junk of the world. And as we do that, God would be glorified. So where do we fit into all of this? Where do you fit in as a parent or as a grandparent or as a church parent? Well, I'm just going to ask you as we close out and we seek the Lord for where we fit in and what he wants us to do. I just invite you to bow your head, to close your eyes, and it's just a time of response, you before the Lord, you and him one-on-one. Maybe as we've walked through this morning, God has been giving you a little bit of correction to say, hey, I need you to truly take this task serious. That I need you to be that wise mentor. But I need you to commit to being in my word so I can grow you, so you can grow those kids. Or maybe it's giving these kids some direction. Maybe it's setting up those barriers, not letting them just run free, but giving them guidance and direction. Or maybe it's picking out one of these kids or your own kids and just saying, I'm going to commit to praying for you, for the now, for the future, and for all of eternity, that your soul would be with our Savior forever in heaven. And maybe you're here this morning and you never had that right relationship with the true Father, with the one true King, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's looking to parent you, no matter if you're 40, 50, 70, or 90. He wants your heart. He wants you to turn from your sin and call out to him, knowing that he paid a debt that you couldn't pay through his life, death, and resurrection. All the Father's wrath poured out on the Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross. He says, I want you to come home, son. I want you to come home, daughter. And all you got to do is call on his name and believe in your heart that he rose from the grave. And you can find eternal life. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful morning. Lord, for our chance to be in your word, to learn from you. God, we ask as we look at this call to parents, Lord, in our own households, that you would continue to till up the soil and you'd build that environment where we can grow spiritually. We can grow in our walk with you in that relationship that's so important. Lord, we pray for our kids, specifically our kids under our roofs and the kids in this church, that you would take them and you would grow them into who you want them to be. Lord, we pray that you would protect them from the evil of this world. Lord, that you would watch over them with your omnipresence, with your omniscience and your omnipotence. And God, through those kids, you would raise up that generation that's on fire for Jesus. And Lord, most of all, we pray that if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they would come to know you. That you would draw them in by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for us as parents, grandparents, and church parents. Lord, that we would be walking in your will with our parenting. That we'd be doing it in a glorifying, honoring way that's in line with your word. And Lord, I pray for the one or two who don't know you. And coming in this morning and you've just put it on their heart. My son or daughter, it's your time. I'm calling you home. I'm calling you home, turn from your sin, and I'm waiting with open arms. Lord, I pray for them. And if that's you, call on his name. Call on the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that he rose from the grave and you find forgiveness and eternal life. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, I'm going to invite you to stand and we're going to sing one last time. And as we do, I'll be down front if you want somebody to pray with. If you got something on your heart, I invite you to come forward. If you've given your life to Jesus, come forward. I'd like to praise with you.
Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your light? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. His will be done, his kingdom come on earth. All glory be to Christ our King. All be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
Yes, Lord, you deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Lord, we know that you are the life giver. You are our sustainer. Lord, we pray that you would continue to walk with us as we leave this building here today and we go off into our week. Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide us as parents, as one who are centered on you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, that you would help us impart that wisdom that only you can give. And Lord, you'd help us set that example as those wise mentors, that you would help us set that example and focus that training that's ongoing, that never stops. And Lord, help us commit these kids to prayer. Lord, for their present, their future, and for their eternity. And Father, we ask that as your disciples, that we would be bold in our witness, Lord, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. And we pray it all in his holy, precious, and powerful name.